Let us bring in Tom Ogren from up in the Nortland right now. Tom, how are you?
I'm great. How you doing, Mike?
Okay. Where are you this morning?
Right now I'm in a town called Ancaster, which is, an hour or so west of Toronto.
Okay. And you've been making the rounds of Canada, touring Canada, at the behest of Johnson & Johnson, I understand.
That's right. Johnson & Johnson hired me. They have, in the United States, they sell an allergy medicine called Zyrtec. And then in Canada, a similar product called Reactin. And so they wanted to put out something called, which is going to come out in June, called the Pollen Nation Report, which I'm helping them craft. And so they hired me to do something that has never been done before, which is an allergy audit of an entire country from coast to coast. So I started in Victoria on Vancouver Island, and I drove in my truck and looked at trees and shrubs everywhere, and allergy audited the planted urban forest of the 10 largest cities in Canada all the way to Halifax on the Atlantic Ocean. And now I'm working my way back.
Yikes. That's a big trip.
Oh, I've driven over 7,000 miles already. Because in each town that I'm driving around, and for example, in each town that I go to, or city rather, I go look at a number of elementary schools, and I see how allergy-friendly or not the landscape of those elementary schools, and what type of plants did they use, and what could they have used to make them more allergy-friendly for the kids.
You know what, Tom? Here's what I'm going to do. Let's back up just a second, because I want to go to the beginning of this, because I interviewed you, it's got to be like 5 or 6 years ago now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you had written a book called Allergy-Free Gardening. And the premise of this book is that we're planting the wrong trees, the wrong kinds of trees, meaning male versus female trees and the effects they have. And as I mentioned earlier on the show, and if people weren't with me at the top of the first hour, I talked about how we're neatness freaks in America and possibly other places in the world. We don't want fruiting trees. We don't want seeds. We don't want anything, because then we have to get the leaf blowers out and we have to get the rakes out and all that and clean up. And, oh, gosh, that's such a mess. So what did we do? We planted the males of these trees, of these species. And what happened, Tom?
Well, what happened was that the female trees, which some people said were too messy, they didn't produce pollen. They just trapped pollen out of the air and turned it into seeds or pods or litter or something, or whatever you want to call it. But they weren't causing any allergies. The male trees or bushes, their job is to produce pollen. That's what they do, and they produce abundant pollen. Some male trees will produce literally a billion grains of pollen each season. And so what's happening, and I've got this really good look now here at Canada. In all these big cities, they've become male, just predominantly male landscapes. And so you've got literally tens of thousands of trees and shrubs that are male that are producing all this pollen. You have almost no female plants for the pollen to go to. And so where does that pollen go? The pollen ends up going to us. It's in our hair. It's on our clothes. It comes into the house through our window screens. It's at the elementary schools, and little kids are running around breathing it.
Yeah, well, as you pointed out the last time we talked, we create these things that you like to call pollen corridors, and we line the sidewalks outside of a school with these trees. We line the sidewalks outside of hospitals with these trees. They can't be doing much good.
Well, they can't, and a pollen corridor is totally for real. I was in Vancouver, and I was driving down a street, and I saw a side street called Ash Grove. So I thought, well, I'll take a look at the ash trees on this and see if they're male clones, because most planted ash trees are. So I got onto Ash Grove, the long block, and right away I saw that there wasn't ash on the street. And I also noticed that all the trees on the street, and they've been planted about 30 feet apart, were all looked to be the exact same kind of tree, clonal trees. And this was quite a while ago, and the trees were just starting to bloom, and I had a pair of binoculars, and I was looking up into the tops of the trees, and I started to see some of them were starting to flower. And what these were a hybrid between red maple and silver maple, what they call Fremonti maples.
Well, yeah, and that's a very popular variety.
Right, and every single one of them was a male. And so they had planted maybe 300-some trees down this long street, and every single one of them was the exact same tree, and every single one of them was a male. And later on, I brought a TV crew from Vancouver over there to show this, because the tree was... It was already starting to be a pollen corridor, and 5-6 years from now, it'll be a tremendous pollen corridor. In a decade from now, that would be a street, prime street to get allergies or asthma to live on. But a lady came out and she said, "What's going on here? What are you looking at these trees?" You know, and so explained it, and she goes, "Oh, male trees, is that bad?" And I said, "Well, it is if you have allergies." And she goes, "Well, I have allergies." And I said, "Well, you know, this is called ash grove. Why do they call it that?" And she said, "Well, this street used to be lined with mountain ash. And it was quite beautiful. And there were a lot of birds on the street to eat the mountain ash berries. And somebody on the street complained that all these mountain ash were too messy. And so the city came in and cut down all of the mountain ash and then replaced them all with this clonal hybrid maple." And so the mountain ash, which is a perfect flower tree and does not cause allergies, every one of them was zapped because of this tidiness phenomena you were just talking about.
Oh, my goodness.
And then they lined the whole street with the same exact thing, which is a bad practice for a number of reasons. And they created a terrible pollen corridor. And so I see this whole pollen corridor thing in every city that I've been through in Canada now. Some cities it's worse than others, depending on who is in charge or something. But
is it worse than in America? About the same? Well, what are your findings?
Certain cities were worse than in America, but in America it's like each city is different. Different plants being used, different policies. If you take a big city like Chicago, you'll find what we call proximity pollinosis. In other words, one block will be much worse than the block next to it. One part of a block might be very bad and the rest of the block pretty good. If you walk down any residential street in Chicago with me, I could point out landscapes that are just totally allergenic, and then I could find other ones that were not very allergenic at all. And the whole thing about proximity is that the closer you are to the source of the pollen, the closer you are to the tree or the bush that's producing the pollen, that's where you get the overexposure. That's where you get the heavy exposure. For example, nowadays in Canada, there's lots of places downtown, these like signs says, "No smoking within 30 feet of the entrance." And that's fine. They don't want secondhand smoke coming in the building. But then at the same time, they'll plant two huge male juniper bushes right at the entrance so that every time they open the door, all this male juniper pollen comes in, which is super allergenic. So they're paying attention to the secondhand smoke, but they're not paying any attention to the secondhand pollen, which is a big problem.
You wrote about that, actually, and I mentioned it on my website, that in which city was it in the United States where they had to ban certain junipers?
Okay, in Albuquerque, New Mexico, they had a case where a six-year-old boy at the city zoo in the springtime, probably around now, tripped and fell face first into a bunch of planted juniper bushes. They were all male clones. They were full of pollen. These things would just literally smoke with pollen at certain times. The kid came up coughing and choking, and the other kids thought it was funny. And then a little while later, they couldn't find him, and he was found huddled up under a bench. and he had gone into anaphylactic shock, and he died from that. In Albuquerque, there's an old botany professor named Dr. Potter, and he also is aware of this male selection business and the effect it would have on allergies by just super increasing the pollen load. And so somebody that had been a student of Potter's talked to those parents and said, the city's landscaping killed your son, and they sued the city of Albuquerque. So money was exchanged and everything, but then Albuquerque put a ban on all junipers. They put a ban on all mulberries. They put a ban on many of these separate-sex trees.
Male and female?
Yes, and they banned them all, and so the nurseries were left holding the bag. It was a terrible situation because I've talked to nurserymen that were doing business there. They suddenly half of their stock they couldn't sell, and I found out about it from someone else, and so I got in contact with the city of Albuquerque, and we talked about this at length. And then they changed the rule. You could sell a mulberry tree if it was female, a fruiting tree.
Well, that makes sense.
Yes, you could sell a juniper if it made juniper berries because it didn't produce pollen. It actually removed pollen.
All right, well, Tom, hang on for a second. Let me do something here. And we got just a couple of minutes left when we get back, but I've got a couple of questions for you and some of the reaction that I've gotten when I talk to people about this issue. That's Tom Ogren, and he is the author of Allergy-Free Gardening, and I've got the information, the link. I've even got the video, Tom, to the who is that shaking the tree and all the pollen comes off of it in that video?
Oh, that's the guy I met down there.
Oh, you got to see this video. It'll scare the dickens out of you if you look at this video. So, and I've got that link there also, MikeNovak.net. Go to this week's show. There we go. This is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk AM and FM. We are talking to Tom Ogren with Allergy Free Gardening. He's up in Canada doing research. And what are you going to do with all this research once you have it together, Tom?
Okay, it's all going into something called the Pollination, spelled capital P-O-L-L-E, capital N, Nation, Pollination Report. That'll be released by Johnson & Johnson in the middle of June. Should get a lot of press and a lot of, but it will be a very in-depth pollen allergy assessment from homegrown allergies on all these different cities, coast to coast in Canada. It'll be a tool for people. So like in each city, a different problems. And so if you're in Ottawa, there'll be suggestions on what you might want to remove from your yard and what you might want to put in its place. Or if you're in Halifax or Vancouver or wherever, there'll be specific advice.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, on this trip, I did drop down just so I could spend Easter with some relatives to St. Paul, Minnesota. I think that's the closest I got to Chicago on this trip. But they were... Y'all had a very warm season, spring.
Oh my goodness, it was out of control.
Right, and so when I got down to St. Paul, everything was blooming and going crazy, and I'd been looking at pretty much dormant trees before, and suddenly it was very easy to tell what kind of tree you were because they had leaves on them. But you know, one thing I wanted to make a point of is that garden centers and nurseries need to know more about this. People tell me they go to a garden center, they ask for advice on this, they've got terrible allergies, but they love to garden and they like a nice looking landscape. And one fellow told me that I heard this from a couple of people. I heard it from a lady physician the other day. They went to a nursery and they asked about which plants did they use to not cause allergies, and they were told to use male plants, for crying out loud.
Wow.
So, I mean, nurseries need to, and the staff, they need to know more about this sort of thing, because a big, big percentage of the people that are their customers have allergies. And then it would be wonderful if the nurseries would start making it easy for people to buy pollen-free plants.
Actually, Tom, that's a question I wanted to have. I wanted to ask you because after I interviewed you the first time, and I bought the whole thing hook, line, and sinker. You know, I bought into it. I thought, yeah, this makes real sense to me. But I've tried it out on other people, and some of them say, "Oh, that guy's nuts." And it makes me wonder what kind of blowback you've gotten about this, especially from the growers.
The best feedback I've had on this tour is coming from city planners and the top tree people in the city of Toronto and in the city of Edmonton. In Edmonton, I spent 4 hours just sitting down and talking about trees with the top tree people. On Monday, tomorrow, I'm going to meet with the top tree people in Toronto. They've exchanged dozens of emails with me, asked me loads of questions. They have every right to be skeptical about this. This is what is called an emerging issue. It's a new way of looking at something. And it flies contrary to the way things have been landscaped for the last 30, 40 years. But it is a very significant, important health issue. There are many, many elementary schools in Canada and across the United States that are landscaped with very allergenic trees and shrubs, causing allergic reactions in these little kids. It doesn't have to be that way. It could be the opposite.
So if people have concerns about this and they suspect that perhaps their kids' allergies or their own allergies are caused by pollen from some of these male clones, what do you advise them to do?
I advise that the first get on the internet, go use Google or Yahoo or something as a tool, and start looking up allergy-free gardening. Look up pollen-free plants. Look up female plants. Start reading everything that you can, and be skeptical about it, of course. And get a good picture of the whole situation yourself. Go to the library and check out one of my books. I've written several books on this. I just, by the way, got a new contract for a new book called The Allergy Fighting Garden from Random House. And but that won't come out till spring of 2014. I'm working on it now, but a huge amount of new data going into that book. I've been collecting data like crazy for years. But I would say, for starters, any tree or shrub in your yard that never makes any berries or any fruit or any seeds is very suspect. And if you don't know what it is, take a sample of it down to a nursery where they're knowledgeable, to a good plant center, and ask them to identify it for you, and then go look up information about that particular shrub. I mean, for example, taxus, the yews. In some of the cities I'm at, this is a very serious health problem. They are planting taxus right next to front doors. And all taxus, the yews, they all come in either male or female. There are no in-between. And the females make a small red berry. The males make a lot of pollen. It is a poisonous species. The pollen is poisonous also. People get very strange reactions from this pollen. A huge amount of things, none of them good. Allergists do not test people for yew pollen because everybody would react to it because yew pollen is poisonous. And then they will plant these yews right under people's bedroom windows as a foundation plant. And then they will bloom precisely at the time when it starts warming up and you want some, quote, fresh air. And so you open up your window, and the yew pollen comes in through the screen, just like the screen is not even there. It lands on you while you're sleeping. You wake up the next morning, and you don't feel good. you feel itchy, you feel tired, you feel cranky, all sorts of different things. And it's not surprising because from you, from Taxus, they make Taxol, which is the chemotherapy drug that they use for breast cancer.
Wow, this is just amazing stuff. I would let you go on, but we're flat out of time here, Tom. And it's just, this is why people need to pick up your book, Allergy Free Gardening, and look for it online. I want you to be in touch with me when you finish your Canadian tour, and if you're ever in Chicago way, stop by the studio. But let me know, keep me posted when the report comes out, okay?
I'll do that, Mike.